Friends, I am excited to jump into Drive. And if you were here, now on Christmas Eve, by the way, we had this basket of cars. And so I made a comment that I said, hey, let's make sure all the kids get a car. So guess what happened? Adults said, oh no, make sure the kids get a car. And no adult grabbed, I'm sure some adults grabbed a car, but here's the thing. I'm going to have these at the back again, but this is your reminder, okay? This is something that you need to set somewhere. I've got one of these sitting on my desk to remind me of the things that I'm going to talk about for the next 5 weeks. And we need reminders of these things. So I will have these at the back, but grab one of these. You can grab your choice. I mean, if you're into 4x4s, here's a 4x4. If you are into sports cars, I mean, here is a great BMW that I cannot afford. But they're here, and so we'll have those at the back, but grab one of those as a reminder. So a few years ago, I was reading a book by a pastor named Mike Slaughter, and the name of the book was called Momentum for Life. And as I read this book, I could not get enough of it. But as I read it, I thought to myself that every pastor should read this book. And you should not be allowed to go into ministry until you read this book and you put these things into practice. And this book has changed my life in some amazing ways. And so my hope is to share with you those same things and those same principles that have changed my life. Now, I know y'all are looking at the screen, but you need to pay attention. So stop looking at the screen and just pay attention. So, in young people, this is where you can fill in the blanks. And adults, by the way, inside your bulletin is a handout with some questions. And I would encourage you this week to go home and read through these scriptures and then begin to kind of answer these questions. But for right now, I think you should turn it over and begin to take some notes along the way. Young people, your notes are on your coloring sheet. But the drive is five letters of five practices that you need to sustain some real momentum in your life. And as many of us downtrodden Chiefs fans know, that it does not matter how you start the first half, does it? It matters how you finish the game. It matters how you finish. And folks, it matters for you and it matters for me how we finish life. And how we sustain momentum. Because chances are, for many of us, we've got some New Year's resolutions that we think will be good and we want to put into play. But what's going to happen is about a month down the road, if we do not begin to practice some new things, guess what? We are not going to finish strong. And my hope for you and my hope for me is that you will finish 2018 strong. So number one, D stands for devotion. And that's what we're going to talk about today, specifically devotion to God. Now, last time I checked, folks, we are all Christians and we are in a Christian church. And as Christians, devotion to God is one of those number one activities in our lives. The R stands for readiness for lifelong learning. Young people, hear me. Old people, hear me. You do not stop learning. You don't cease to learn. You continue to learn along the way. That's what we do. And so we're going to talk about that next week. The I is investing in key relationships, passing things on, learning wisdom, learning some different things along the way. But I is investing in key relationships. V is vision for the future. Right now, as a Chiefs fan, I got some vision for the future, and I'm probably going to send an email to the coaches and let them know I got some vision for the future that maybe they need to adopt. But if you do not have vision for the future, parents, if you don't have vision for the future for your kids, guess what? They are not going to walk into any vision for the future. If you're not planning for the future, if you're not leaving your kids any financial freedom, you are not providing a great vision for the future. So V is for vision. And then E is the one that I do not like at all. E is eating and exercise for longevity. Now, believe it or not, many of you look at me and you go, well, you know what? I bet Joe does not have a weight problem. Joe is a lazy, skinny person. And because of metabolism, I am really, really lazy. and I eat whatever I feel like, and it's miraculous that I'm not diabetic. However, exercise and eating, for parents, listen to me. Do you want to be there to see grandkids? Do you want to be there to see some great things in your kids' lives? Yes, you do. But you cannot do that if you're not taking care of your body right now. And so exercise and eating, we're going to talk about that one. That'll be the one that I skip and have someone else preach on. Just joking. So devotion. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is devotion to God. Now, for many of us, especially as Christians, we begin to talk about belief in God. Well, I need to have more belief in God, when in reality is what we need is we need devotion to God. Because our devotion reveals what we care about. Our devotion points toward our deepest desires. People can sense our devotion, but our belief is something that we have to explain. And as a matter of fact, our kids will more than likely adopt what we're devoted to as opposed to what we believe. They'll adopt our philosophies or they'll adopt our zeal for music, for money, for movies or athletics. But there will come a point in time where they're not so sure what they believe, or they're not sure what we believed. And our devotion, though, is the thing. What we're passionate about is what drives our lives. And that's the thing that we're going to discover this morning. Now, for Tina and I, one of those things that we are passionate about is reading. One of the things that the girls have heard constantly their entire time in our house is readers are leaders. Readers are leaders, and we used to have a practice in our home that you read 20 minutes a day after school, and that's just the way it is. And we got complaints, and we got moans and groans, and I don't know why I need to do this. And I said, well, can you read a housing contract? Let me get that housing contract out for you. Well, no, I can't read a housing contract. Well, guess what? One day you may need to read a housing contract and understand what you're signing. And if you're not a good reader, then you're not going to be able to understand what you're reading. And so we have constantly talked about reading. Well, today we do not enforce reading in our home, but both of our girls read just on their own, and they read books on their own. But it's one of those things that they've picked up. It's a passion for Tina and I that they have picked up along the way. Because our devotion reflects our values. And your greatest passion betrays your true object of worship. What we talk about is really what we worship. And motivation can be boiled down to passion. And our passions, more than our beliefs, determine our life actions and directions. And if you don't believe me, here, let me give you a great example. How many times have you been to a restaurant and you said, you know what, we are not going to buy dessert. We are sticking to the menu, and we are sticking to the things that are healthy, and that's what we're going to do. And lo and behold, the server says, hey, I think I can get them. And the server comes by, and they've got the plate of all the desserts. And they go, you guys in the mood for a dessert? Man, I'm stuffed. I don't know. Well, what do you think? And they bring the chocolate by, or they bring the cheesecake by, or they bring the brownie explosion by. And you go, yes, sign me up. I would like that brownie explosion. I would like that cookie with the ice cream in the middle and the hot fudge. Who does not want that? But they know, even though our beliefs tell us, you know what, I really don't need dessert. But man, that dessert looks really good. It's the same way, okay, don't raise your hands. It's the same way when it comes to a new car. We all know we don't need a new car. But the moment we step onto a car lot and we begin looking at some things, and we begin, new cars smell great, don't they? I mean, man, I love new car smell. I wish they could put that in a can. I would spray that all over my Subaru. But all of a sudden we go, you know what, we don't need a new car. But all of a sudden you drive a new car and you need a new car. Or you walk into Best Buy. Craig and I can identify with this. Or you walk into Best Buy and somebody says to you, man, this new iPhone, or man, this new Galaxy, man, this new technology. And you went in going, hey, I am looking for a cord. I'm looking for a power cord. And all of a sudden, I am walking out with something else. Now, Tina is giving me a dirty look because she knows this happens, right? And she goes, what is this Best Buy thing on the credit card? I thought you were going for a cord. Nope, I showed up. But here's what happens. Our beliefs tell us we don't need things, but all of a sudden our passions take over. All of a sudden something goes on inside our lives, and our devotion reflects what we ultimately care about, and it reflects what we value. And whatever we value the most highly becomes the object of our worship. And what we begin to worship drives us and dictates things in our own lives. Now, the problem is this, is when it comes to my relationship with God, it does not take long for me to forget who God is. It does not take me long. And as a matter of fact, it only takes about 24 hours for me to forget who God is and what God wants to do in my life. And all of a sudden, my attention is turned to other things, and that's why I must begin every day in devotion. And that's why you must begin every day in devotion. So I don't know what your devotional life looks like, but devotion is time focused on God's presence. Devotion is one of those things that whenever we go to it, all of a sudden, it begins to transform the rest of our lives. How else can we hear from God if we are not practicing devotion? And practicing devotion creates an awareness of God's presence. Now, I don't know what your devotional life looks like, but here's kind of what I do. Through the years, I've read some books along the way, and I know Tina's going through a Beth Moore devotional right now, but one of the ways that I have studied Scripture over the years is, one, I begin reading something, and there are some years where I may focus on the Psalms, and I go, you know what, I'm going to read a psalm a day, and that's just what I'm going to do. Sometimes I focus on the Gospels, and I may spend time in the New Testament. Maybe I'm just going to spend time in Mark or Matthew or Luke or John and start there. But what happens is I start with Scripture, and then as I start with Scripture, I begin to make some observations, and I begin to write those observations down. And then I begin to name some of those things that are speaking to me and how God wants to give me direction. And you can use that SUN method, S, Scripture, O, observation, N, naming, to encounter God and practice devotion. But the daily practice of devotion teaches me to be fully present to God's presence. It continues to renew a healthy relationship with God within me. And that daily practice you and I need. Now, in Psalm 121, the writer says, I already did that, didn't I? Maybe. Psalm 121 says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Now, when we read that, you and I think about, and we read mountains, right? I don't know about you, but I think of the Smoky Mountains, because I've been to the Smoky Mountains. Or I think of the Rocky Mountains in Colorado. I think of those sort of mountain ranges. But for the early pilgrims of Israel, when they hear the word mountain, what they're thinking about is going to Jerusalem. Because Jerusalem was on a hill. Jerusalem was on a mountain. And as you went to Jerusalem to worship, you would walk up the mountain. And Psalm 121 is the second psalm of ascent. And as the pilgrims walk along, they begin to see things, and they begin to see Jerusalem up on that hill. The problem is this, and this is the problem for you, and this is the problem for me, that as they would walk up that mountain, there would be shrines along the way offering people quick fixes. So as you're walking up that mountain, going to worship God, what you would see is you would see someone with a shrine to the God of fertility. So if your crops aren't doing well, or you need the stock market to do a little bit better, you go, you know what, maybe I need to stop off and I need to drop an offering in this bucket. And as you would continue to go up the mountain toward Jerusalem, then maybe you were dealing with weather problems and the weather wasn't cooperating, and there would be a shrine along the way where you could stop in and pay your dues and say, you know, maybe I need to drop a little offering to the God of the weather and the wind and the rain. But all these temptations along the way would distract the pilgrims as they went up the mountain. And folks, don't miss this. Life is an ascent. Life is a movement upward. It is not a movement downward. It is a movement upward. And you and I are moving upward toward what God wants for us. But like them, we are tempted along the way to look for other things and to look for quick fixes. We begin to try and find some other things. And we begin to look for other places for our purpose. But the psalm writer says, I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? The word help actually means meaning. Actually means strength. It's a Hebrew word that means my meaning and my strength. And the message says it this way. I look up to the mountains. Where does my strength come from? We are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our strength. Where does my meaning come from? Does my meaning come from other things, or does my meaning come from God? And as Christians, if we want to have great momentum in our lives, we have to realize that our momentum comes from the Lord. And when I want relief from temptation, all of a sudden I want to look around and I want to find a quick fix and an immediate gratification. But I've got to start by leading myself, because all leadership begins with self-leadership. If I want to go after God, I've got to begin with me. I've got to start with me. And before I lead anybody else, I have to be able to lead myself. And so while I can say, you know what, the preacher did not give a good sermon today, and you're probably right. Or, you know what, I'm not so sure that the music was that great today, and I don't know that it stirred my soul. We all got to begin somewhere. We got to begin with that daily devotion and seeking the Lord for ourselves. One of the greatest things I feel like Tina ever taught our girls. Last year, we spent the year homeschooling our girls. And one of the greatest things that ever came from that was Bible time, where Tina taught them how to study the Bible for themselves, how to look for things and how to find things, and how to figure out what it is that God wants to speak to you. Because, folks, God wants to speak to each one of us. But if I'm not practicing devotion, if I'm not practicing the self-leadership of devotion, how am I going to hear from the Lord? That's why the first discipline of my morning involves intense movement toward God. In the passage that Connie read earlier, Jesus himself gets away for devotion so that he can hear from the Lord. Jesus has a destiny to fulfill on the cross. How important is it for him to spend that time with his Father, because he has a bigger purpose than just hanging out? And you and I have a bigger purpose than just hanging out. And our devotion to God shows up in day-to-day life. And anything worthwhile in life comes from a sustained momentum in the same direction, moving toward God and seeking what he wants in our lives. And I don't know about you, but I want to leave a legacy. And leaving a legacy is hard work. Leaving a legacy means I've got things to do right now. So I can't be content to say, well, hey, Joe, you're 48 years old. Everything's working out. You're going to be 49 in a month. But I think everything's okay. No, no, no. If I want to leave a legacy, then I've got to continue to move after God. If I want to leave a legacy for my children and my grandchildren, that all is hinging upon my devotion to God. Practice of daily devotion renews my sense of purpose. And whenever I'm spending that time in devotion to God, all of a sudden it creates within me creativity. All of a sudden, it creates within me energy. And in the same way we get ready for the day, we need to allow the cleansing power of the Spirit to come over us and renew our focus. Because every day you're going to face things, and every day I'm going to face things. And if I'm not ready, if I'm not prepared, all of a sudden I'm going to miss it. All of a sudden, the daily activities are going to take over my life. And if I'm going to seek meaning in other things, I'm going to miss out on what God wants to do in my life. because God has given me and God has given you a life calling. My life calling isn't to make money. My life calling isn't even my job. Being a pastor is my day job. Leading my family is my ministry. Leading people around me is my ministry, but those things can't direct everything I do. The center of all that I am is a relationship with God. And the moment I lose focus on that, all of a sudden I begin to give energy to those things that are not really going to sustain me or fulfill me or do those miraculous things within me that I need God to do. So let's do this. Let's go home on this. Think about Mary and Joseph for a minute, okay? Because we're still in the Christmas season, right? So how is it that Joseph hears from the angel if Joseph is not spending time in devotion to God? Could it be that sometimes we miss God's voice because we are not spending time in devotion and we're not preparing our hearts for God's presence? So here's the challenge. This week, I'm not telling you what to do because you don't do anything pastors tell you to do anyhow, right? So this week, go through the questions and try on devotion. And I can tell you, you will not be disappointed.